So what I wanted to do today was address something that I think we need to address when we come into these areas of the year where we have a rather lengthy time period between the holy days. Of course, this is particularly pertinent after the Feast of Tabernacles, where we have a 6-month gap, and now here we are, we have another 3-month, 3.5-month period before we get to celebrate another holy day. And of course, we have our weekly holy days, and certainly don't mean to belittle the holy Sabbath in any way. It is a holy day. But I'm talking about the 7 annual holy days throughout the year. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about, Mr. Thompson was mentioning devices of Satan and how discontentment is one of the great devices that he uses. I want to talk about another device that this manipulator, this very cunning, this very sly being uses, that if we're not careful can lead us astray, lead us off track, lead us to a path that we should not be on. And this particular device, if you will, if we allow it to, can wreak great havoc in our lives. We've probably all fallen prey to this device from time to time. It is one of those weapons in Satan's arsenal, and we need to be careful of this. It is a trick, as I mentioned, that can lead us away from Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, here's the thing about this device. It is so, you know, he's so cunning, Satan. He's so subtle. He's so sly that this device is not a sin. Often by itself, it is not a sin. Now, we as Christians can, however, be led astray by this device. Sometimes, you know, Satan, when he attacks us head on, you know, face to face, and he tempts us with different things, many times sin. But a lot of the time, Satan will come at us from the side window or from the back door. And those are the areas that we need to really be careful of. And again, if we're not careful, the result, whether he attacks us from front door, side window, back door, can be the same. And we can neglect then our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. So we need to be aware of this device. Again, it can create distance between us and our God. Therefore, we need to identify it and we need to reject it. So what is this treacherous thing, this weapon in the arsenal of Satan that he can use to lead us away from God? It's not a sin. It is simply to be overly busy. To be overly busy. For those of you that like titles, the title of this sermon is Slow Down and Make Time for God. Slow down and make time for God. Because in this world that we live in, it's that time isn't going to be given to you. You have to make it. So let's slow down and make time for God. Now, you might be wondering, how can being busy be a deception of Satan? Well, that's the very question that we're going to address today. And again, remember, he is very sly, he is very subtle, but we need to be aware of this. Now, before we go there, I want to first of all address a principle from Scripture that I want to make sure you understand what I'm not saying. I said being overly busy is a treacherous weapon that Satan uses to distract us from God. So what I want to make sure we all understand is I am not proposing that we all become idle, lazy individuals. Scripture has a lot to do, a lot to say about that type of personality and how it speaks against that. Turn with me, again, just to lay that foundation first, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians 2 Thessalonians, and we'll read chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, says, "For when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." So again, the scripture is clear that we are to be working. We are to be out there. We are to be working as we are able to take care of our needs. We're not talking about us just sitting back in our recliners being lazy and idle people. We are commanded to work. We are commanded to take care of our daily needs. And if we're not willing to do that, then the scripture says, well, you shouldn't expect to eat. Let's also notice what Solomon says in the Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, and let's read verse 15. Proverbs 19 verse 15 says, "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." Again, if we're not willing to work, hey, we're going to go hungry. We've got to be willing to be out there working, doing what we need to do to take care of our needs and the needs of our families, and where possible, where appropriate, the needs of other individuals that perhaps don't have quite what we have. So again, God warns us about not being lazy. And here it talks about don't be an idle person because you suffer hunger. There is another warning given to us about idleness and where it tends to lead us. Let's go ahead and look at, back to, well, this time to 1 Timothy. To 1 Timothy, Paul again speaking. Notice what he says in Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. Just breaking into the thought here, it says, "And besides, they learn to be idle." So the context here, the subject matter is idle people. And where does idleness lead individuals? Wandering about from house to house, and not only being idle, but also gossips and busybodies saying things which they ought not to say. So again, the scripture is very clear. We aren't to be lazy. We aren't to be idle. We probably all heard the saying, you know, idle hands are the devil's workshop, right? Well, that's not that particular saying, is it, in the scripture, but certainly the principle is. Where do idle hands lead individuals to? Well, it tends to lead them to, they've got too much time on their hands, they become busybodies. And they get into gossip and they say things that they should not be saying. So again, I want to, at the outset, mention that as I go through the sermon this afternoon, please understand, I am not advocating being lazy. I'm not advocating being idle. I am advocating that we should be out there working and taking care of our needs and the needs of our loved ones. But within that, we need to understand that we can't become overly consumed and overly busy with the world around us. Because when we do, as we will see in the scripture, that can have a very negative impact on our spiritual lives. So if it's not wrong to be busy, and obviously the scripture talks about we should be out there working, if it's not wrong, then what are we talking about? What is this problem or this weapon, if you will, that Satan uses? It is right, as I've mentioned here, for us to provide for our families. It's not wrong to be out there and working hard. It's not wrong that we should spend time with family and with friends in recreation. All of this is good. But it comes down to one thing. The key is that in all things, we must have balance. Another way to put that is we must do things in accordance with priorities. Now, who gets to set those priorities? Well, to some degree in life, we do. But in a greater sense, actually, God has already set the priorities for us. To know that right balance, to know what those right priorities are, let's turn to Matthew. Book of Matthew, this is well-known scripture, particularly within the Church of God. Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. Here Christ is speaking of priorities, and he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." So here, Christ is establishing our number one priority in life is to seek God and his righteousness. And then he goes on to say, obviously, if there's a first priority, then that must mean there are other priorities, second, third, fourth, etc. Then he goes on to say, and all the other things, yes, we need to be out there working. Yes, it's fine to go out there and have recreation and fun. All those other things will be taken care of. They'll be added to you. So long as we have our priorities right. Again, it's all a matter of balance. If our priorities are balanced, then we are standing on good, solid ground. If our priorities are out of balance, then we are standing on dangerous ground, and that's exactly where Satan wants us to stand. So how can Satan deceive and spiritually hurt us through the use of time? Or what we might say, the misuse of time. It is by enticing us to use our time inappropriately. Inappropriately. Now, there are two points that I want to bring out. The first point is we must make sure that we are using time to do the right things. Doing the right things. I'm not going to spend really any time on that point today because I don't think any of us really have a problem blatantly in that we want to be out there doing the wrong things. Now, I know from time to time we slip up and we might do the wrong things, but knowing the right from the wrong doesn't tend to be that big of a problem within the Church of God. Many of us have been around for a long time. Many of us know the scriptures, and we tend to know right from wrong. So I'm really not going to be focusing on that we should be using our time to do the right things. I think we can all take that. We understand that. What I do want to focus on, though, is the second point. The second point is this. So we need to, number one, make sure we're using our time doing the right things, not sinning. But number two, we must make sure that we are not too busy doing acceptable things, things that are acceptable, things that are fine, things that aren't a sin, to the neglect of not being willing to do the important things. And this is where I want to really focus in on today. We can't get too busy doing acceptable things that we neglect the important things. We're going to be using those two terms throughout the rest of the sermon. While things might be acceptable, they may not be the most important thing. And sometimes that's simply a matter of timing. Let me give you an example. Is it acceptable to play golf? Well, yes, that's an acceptable activity. Is it acceptable to play golf on the Sabbath? No. That's a misuse of the holy time of the Sabbath, right? While the event, playing golf, is an acceptable event, the timing of it, if we were to play it on the Sabbath, that would be unacceptable. Why? Because there's more important things that we should be doing with that holy time. So again, some things can be acceptable, but they may not be the most important. Now, we also might say, well, is it acceptable to play golf? Yes. Is it acceptable to play golf 7 days, well, not 7 days, 6 days a week, excluding the Sabbath, and you don't have a job, and your wife and your children are starving? Is that acceptable? No. playing golf is acceptable, but the neglect of something that's more important, that is unacceptable. So this is what I want to be talking about today. There are acceptable things, and there are the more important things, and we've got to make sure that Satan doesn't allow us to get so wrapped up, not in sin, but in those acceptable things, that we neglect what's really important. If I were to ask you to describe the world that we live in, the society out there, in one word, what word would you come up with?
Frenetic.
What is it?
Frenetic.
Frenetic? Frantic?
Yes.
Frantic, okay. That's an excellent word. Now, I would use the word, and I'm going to use the word hectic. It's the same. Frantic, hectic. We might think of the word evil, and certainly we do live in an evil world, but again, I'm not focused on evil versus righteousness, because that's pretty clear. We have a pretty good understanding of that, don't we? But where we as Christians can tend to get tripped up is not in the evil versus righteousness realm. Now, sometimes that happens, and we deal with that. But more likely, we get tripped up in the acceptable and important realm, where some things might be acceptable, but there are things that are more important. So yes, we live in a very hectic, a very frantic world. Everything is so fast-paced. We want things instantly, don't we? That's the world that we live in. Instantality. Is that a word? I don't know, but it sounds good, doesn't it? That just came to my head. That's an inspired word, instantality. I'm sure Mr. Thompson will tell me it's not a real word later on, but anyway. I don't know. But we do, don't we? I mean, we want to eat fast, so we have fast food restaurants, don't we? We want to get to where we're going as quickly as we can, so we make sure we're driving that speed limit, sometimes beyond. Okay? We live in the world of the internet, where we have answers at the tip of our fingers. Google, Google, Google. This is the world that we live in. And hey, when we're not at home, we take the internet with us. We've got the smartphones, and we've got the tablets, and we can't be cut off, right, from this instantality of society, the frantic pace of society. That's the world we live in. I like to put it in these terms, it's go, go, zoom. Go, go, zoom. We barely have time to catch our breath. We bounce from one activity to another, from one thing to another. We cram in as much as we can, as quickly as we can, so that we have a little time left over to do what? More stuff, right? More stuff. And we're trying to cram in as much as we can into this life. And you know, what really made me think about this was a couple of years ago, was looking at my wife's cousins on the ranch. We live there and we have all the family there. And just looking at, well, they're busy enough at school, right? But just looking at and knowing about their extracurricular school activities. See, this world is even... this frantic pace of life has even crept into affecting our children, hasn't it? I mean, these little ones, they're going from after school. They've done the schoolwork. Well, they might have some homework. But then after school, what are they? Well, they've got volleyball practice, or they've got track practice, or they've got basketball, or they've got running, they've got this and they've got that, they've got drama, they've got FFA, or all of these different things. And it's like, I get tired just hearing about all the things that they're doing. This is the life that even our children are living. That's the world that we grow up in. That's the world that we live in. That's the society of the world out there. And of course, that list just goes on and on and on. And again, that's just the extracurricular school activities. What about all the other things they do as well? Again, it's go, go, zoom. Now, when we think of that list, volleyball, basketball, we do that even in church, don't we? Well, not in church, but within, we have volleyball tournaments and basketball tournaments. Is there anything wrong with volleyball, basketball, track, drama, this club, that? Anything wrong with those things? No. Are those all acceptable things? Yes. They are acceptable. But to what extent do we allow our lives to be consumed by all of those acceptable things to the point where we might be neglecting the important things? Again, it comes down to balance, doesn't it? To balance, to priorities. You know, I used to hate that word balance when I went to Ambassador College. Every forum and assembly, we would hear balance, 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 do things in balance. And I'm like, what is up with this word balance, you know? Well, after 4 years, I finally understood what they were trying to get into my head. There is, it all does really come down to balance and to priorities. So again, from a Christian perspective, there are a few things that we need to be aware of because we live in this world, this society, this frantic, hectic society. A few things that we need to be aware of. First of all, there's our physical and mental health to consider. Our physical and mental health. Now, again, I won't spend a lot of time here on this point, but just let's think for a moment about the health problems that we face in society today that perhaps they didn't face 30, 40, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. I mean, we try to live life burning the candle at both ends, and then we wonder why we're so anxious. You know, when you look at anxiety in the society we live in, it's off the charts. What's one of the most common health problems that we have in society today? High blood pressure, right? Heart problems. And a lot of that is contributed to the fact of the lifestyle that we're leading. Again, all of this go-go zoom, burning the candle at both ends. And is it any wonder that we have such problems? We can't sleep because we're so anxious about what tomorrow's going to bring, you know, whether it be through work or through school or through this activity or that activity, etc., etc. And it's gotten to the point that anxiety is so off the charts that we actually now live in a world where, well, I guess it's always been this way, but we see it a whole lot more today, where people are just out there killing one another because they're just so anxious. They're out of their minds. And again, unfortunately, this is not something that's limited to the adult realm, is it? You know, we used to have the saying, you know, oh, the person's gone postal, right? That would be more at the adult realm. But now, think about all of the school problems, the school shootings, and the school violence going on out there. Children killing children because they're just so anxious. Things are just so out of control. This is why God, in His wisdom, gave us a weekly Sabbath. This is why God, in His wisdom, gave us the annual Sabbath. This is why God, in His wisdom, gave us at the end of the year, as kind of like a recuperation, get ready for the next year, an 8-day festival where we can simply slow down, take a break, step back from this hectic society and be refreshed. We're going to talk about how does that happen, and actually we tend to focus on one and neglect another, and we'll talk about that. But we have these blessings from God, and He realized, you know, with where man is headed and the society that you're going to develop on your own, Christians are going to need these days more and more as time goes on. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. Let's notice what Christ says in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. This is specifically talking about the Sabbath. It's also true for all of the annual holy days. But Mark chapter 2, and notice verse 27. And He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." The point that Christ is making here is the Sabbath was given to mankind to be a blessing, to be a time where we can step back from all of our daily chores. Are those chores acceptable? Yes. Are they even important? Yes. Do we need to be out there working in society, taking care of our needs? Yes. But he says, I know things can get so hectic out there, I'm going to set aside a 24-hour period every week so you can take a step back. Take that deep breath to relax a little bit. So God in his wisdom realized we were going to need a weekly recharge, a time to recharge. And that's the Sabbath. It is a blessing. Do we see this day as a blessing? We're going to talk about that. Again, God knows our physical and mental limitations. He created us the way we are. He knows that sometimes we just need to slow down. And again, that's why he gave us the blessing of the Sabbath. It is to give us a physical rest. It is to give us a mental rest, again, where we can step back. We're not doing those things that we need to do, that we should be doing, working to provide for our families. We don't even have to think about, all those problems that I left on my desk Friday afternoon when I left. We don't have to think about those things today. But brethren, the Sabbath is more, here's where we can get tripped up. How many times have we heard the Sabbath is a day of rest? Yes, we've all heard that, right? Sabbath is a day of rest. That is true. It is a day of rest both physically and mentally. But the Sabbath is much more than just a day of rest, brethren. The Sabbath is also a day, a time of spiritual rejuvenation. It's more than just resting. It's about spiritual rejuvenation. And again, most of us, we understand the rest component, but do we truly understand the spiritual rejuvenation component? Again, if we are to benefit from the complete blessing, and I say the complete blessing with both of those aspects in mind, if we are to have the complete blessing of the Sabbath, we must prepare for it. We must prepare for it. You know, I fear at times that, again, we simply see the Sabbath as a time of physical rest, and we neglect the spiritual rejuvenation aspect of it. Have you ever said, I don't want a show of hands, but let's think about this. Have you ever said to yourself, I'm too tired to go to church today? Now, again, we say things and we have to caveat and understand there are times where we should stay home from church. But is being too tired to go to church acceptable in God's eyes? There are acceptable reasons for staying home from church, absolutely. But if we've had a hard week, does that mean that we should stay home from church? Now again, we might be tired, and we certainly should be getting a little more physical rest on the Sabbath. We can sleep in a little bit longer, can't we? We have those blessings, but again, we need to understand that the Sabbath is so much more than just getting more rest. I want to ask you a question. And I want you to think about this. All of us need to think about this. Do we spend the week preparing for the Sabbath? Or do we spend the Sabbath preparing for the week? Do you understand what I'm asking? Are we geared up throughout the week? Oh, I'm looking forward to the Sabbath. I want the Sabbath to come. I can't wait for the Sabbath to come. Or do we go Zoom all week, really not even giving the Sabbath any thought, and we simply collapse into the Sabbath, so exhausted, so tired, and that's our time of rest, and why are we resting? So that we can go on the next week. Do we use the Sabbath as merely a time of rest so that we are prepared then for the next week? If we are doing that, again, I'm not asking for a show of hands. We need to ask this with integrity inside of us. If that's what I'm doing, if I'm simply spending the Sabbath as a day of physical rest so that I can get up and burn the candle at both ends again the next 6 days, then that is misappropriate time of the Sabbath. We're not experiencing the full blessing of the Sabbath. Now again, is getting extra rest on the Sabbath an acceptable thing? Absolutely it is. But the Sabbath isn't just about getting that rest. Again, maybe we say, oh, I'm so tired, I don't want to go to church, but I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to church. But I'm still so exhausted from the week that I go to church and the minister's talking there and I'm like this, you know. What kind of rejuvenation are we getting from that Sabbath day when we're so tired we're falling asleep in church? So again, can we modify the week slightly? Oh yeah, but I've got to stay up and watch the Spurs play until 11 o'clock at night, right? Well, if you're falling asleep on the Sabbath, maybe that acceptable activity needs to be pushed aside. Now, of course, that soon will be because the Spurs are going to win it in 5, right? No. You understand what I'm saying, though, right? So we've got to be real careful about, you know, how we're approaching this Sabbath. It was a blessing. It was given to us by God. He said, I know you need it, but are we really benefiting from its fullness? It's not just a matter of rest. It's a matter of spiritual rejuvenation. Satan is so happy. We think, oh, Satan wants me to sin. Satan is just doing cartwheels. If he can get you to be so busy through the week that you can't be rejuvenated on the Sabbath, maybe that you stay home because you're too tired, or maybe you go but you're really not cognitive and what was the guy talking about, you know, type thing. Satan's doing cartwheels at that. He doesn't need you to sin. He's quite happy if you're doing acceptable things to the neglect of the important things. You see why this can be so tricky? It's not even a sin. But it's doing the acceptable to the neglect of the most important. If we can't reap everything that the Sabbath is meant to give us, that blessing that was given to us, if we can't reap that, then maybe we need to ask ourselves the question, am I in my life, somewhere, somehow, doing too many acceptable things that I can't take advantage of the important things? It's a very subtle area, but something that we need to think about. Now, I do want to address another issue just about the Sabbath real quick, and then we'll move on, because we do live in a wondrous generation, a wondrous society, technologically speaking. We talked about the fact that we have the internet. And that can be a great tool, but like any tool, that can be misused, right? Certainly is misused many times, unfortunately. But let's put this in perspective of the Sabbath, because one of the abilities that the internet gives us is that we can stay at home and watch church services, can't we? My wife and I hooked in and watched San Antonio this morning. That's a wonderful gift, a wonderful blessing. So can we simply just do that every week? Go Zoom throughout the week, too tired to go to church, so I'll just click on the TV, connect and watch services. Is that all that the Sabbath is about? The Sabbath is more than just receiving messages. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, certainly we want to be spiritually rejuvenated by hearing messages from the Word of God, but spiritual rejuvenation comes by more than just hearing a couple of men up behind the pulpit speaking every Sabbath. Spiritual rejuvenation comes from so much more than just that. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 24 and 25. Notice in verse 24 it says, and let us consider one another to stir up, I'm sorry, to, in order to stir up love and good works. Consider one another to stir one another up to love and good works. Now my question is, if we're at home watching Sabbath services via the internet, can you receive the messages? Yes. Can you receive a certain level of spiritual rejuvenation through those messages? Yes. But how can you fulfill this? How can you stir up other people? Stirring up to love and good works is part of the rejuvenation process. And that's why Paul goes on to say then in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are, but exhorting one another. We can't exhort one another if we're isolated by ourselves, if we're not there at Sabbath services. Exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. Again, are there times that we should stay at home? Yes. Are there appropriate times where it is very acceptable, very appropriate to watch services via the internet? Yes. But the point that I'm trying to discuss with all of us today is, if our lives are just so busy, full of doing acceptable things, that we can't gather the fullness of the blessing of the Sabbath, then those acceptable things are drawing us away from the more important things. Again, it's something that we need to be aware of. Very, very careful. Satan is just so tickled pink if he can just get us to burn the candle at both ends and we don't enjoy the Sabbath the way it was intended to be enjoyed. And again, let me put it in these terms. You know, if we think of the Sabbath as just listening to messages and receiving rejuvenation, in some ways, think about it, that's a very selfish approach, isn't it? It's all about, what can I get out of it? But you know, the Sabbath is so much more than that. The Sabbath is also, how can I help someone else? We can't help our brethren if we're not there fellowshipping with our brethren. And sometimes what a fellow member, a brother or sister needs is just to see your smiling face. To have that welcome hug. It doesn't even have to be a whole lot. And, you know, I think sometimes we don't even really understand the impact that we have on one another. The good impact that we have on one another when we come and join together here in fellowship on the Sabbath. So again, we want to be aware that, do we spend the week in preparation for the Sabbath so that I can go to services, I do feel up to going to services, and I feel alert to listen to the messages, and I'm cognitive, and I'm thinking, and I'm ready to help my fellow brothers and sisters? Do I spend the week preparing for that, or do I simply collapse into the Sabbath, get all the rest I can, sleep for 20 hours, so that I'm ready for the next week? Well, now we're neglecting, if that's the case, we're neglecting the most important things in life. So again, it's a matter of how we're using our time. Are we using it wisely? Christ, of course, is the perfect example for us in all things. He set the perfect example. And let's notice that even Christ, the Son of God, but in human form, in flesh and blood, understood the need for, as a man, as a human being, to step back and take some quiet time. There are times when we have to slow down. Notice Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, Christ sends out his 12 apostles. Sends them out two by two to go into the region around about to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, and to do the work of God in that sense. But notice when they came back, Mark chapter 6, well, in verse 7 it says, and he called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. But he sent them out to do a work. is what we're reading off here. Now let's drop down to verse 30. So they go out to the regions around about, and they're doing all of these things, and the power of the Holy Spirit is with them, and they're healing, and they're proclaiming, they're speaking powerfully, and they just come back on a high. They're just so excited. Wow. And notice verse 30 says, then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And now notice Jesus' response. He says, and he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. He sent them out. They had worked hard. They were doing acceptable things. They were doing the work of God. And they were on a great high. And he said, okay, now let's just take some time, some downtime, to rest, to be spiritually rejuvenated. Doesn't say it was on the Sabbath. He said, let's go to a deserted place, getting away from the hustle and bustle of society so that we can have some downtime. Well, going on in the story, verses 34 through 44, talks about how they got in a boat and they were going over to the other side of the sea, and the people saw them and they ran after them. And so when they got to the other side, the people caught up to them. And of course, Christ looked at the people and had great compassion on them. So he said, okay, I'm going to fulfill your needs again. And so he then took care of them physically as well as spiritually, taking care of their needs. But then at the end of doing that, notice once again, let's look at verses 45 and 46. Immediately, so he sent the multitudes away. He says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him. So now he's separating himself to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitudes away. So he says, look, I'll hold on to the multitudes here. You guys get away and have some downtime. You need some downtime to rejuvenate. You just can't keep going. The physical body wasn't designed to keep going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, non-stop. We need some downtime. So he's holding the multitude. He sends them away. Then he sends the multitude away. And then notice in verse 46, and when he had sent the multitude away, he himself departed to the mountains to pray. He says, I'm tired. This is the Son of God, but in human form. And he said, okay, I've done acceptable things. I'm doing the work of my Father that sent me. Now I need some quiet time. So he went up into the mountains and had that time of spiritual rejuvenation with his Father. It says he went aside to pray. So what is the takeaway for us with this story? The takeaway is we are human flesh and blood, and there are times, brethren, where we need to slow down. There are times when we need to, and I'm not just talking about now the weekly Sabbath, now I'm talking about a daily event, to where we need to set aside time to do what Christ did, to find that time, that quiet place, that quiet time where we can commune and pray with our Father, just as Christ did. We need that daily. Now, am I setting any time limits? Does it have to be, 15 minutes, 30 minutes? I'm not doing that. Christ didn't do that. Doesn't say how long. But what I am saying is on a daily basis, we all need that slow down time to where we can talk to our God. Now, where do you do that? This is why daily prayer is so important. We need to find that time and space for rejuvenation. Now, where do you do that? What works for you? I don't know. I know it works for me. I have a back porch. And I can look out over, the landscape on the ranch there. Right now it looks nice and green and lush. And we can see birds playing in there. We have hummingbird feeders and have the hummingbirds come in. And we see the cattle roaming and the sheep and the goats roaming around. And that, to me, is a beautiful setting. That's my place where I can go and just really relax and talk to God. And maybe you don't have that. I don't know what you have. Maybe you have a quiet room that you have that you like to go to. Maybe you like going for a walk or for a drive in the country. Whatever it takes, make sure that you get that downtime on a regular basis. Make sure that we have that downtime to be talking to our God every single day. We live in a world where our minds are just programmed to go 90 miles an hour. You know, what's another technological catchphrase for the world that we live in? How about multitasking? Right? Don't we live in a multitasking world? Oh, it's not good enough just to do one. We've got to be doing 10 different things at a time. You know the effect that that has on our brains? Now, I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. I'm going to tell you about me. Have you ever been in a quiet place praying and talking to your God, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm not praying. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do at work. Or I'm thinking about the activity for these kids. Somehow my brain has, I intended to pray, I intended to talk to my God, but all of a sudden my brain is hijacked and it's off doing something. I'm multitasking, I'm trying to think of all these things. So what I'm saying is, in the world that we live in, we have to actually train our brains, train our minds to say, no, slow down, focus on this one thing. It's the most important thing. Thinking about my work and thinking about the activities of my children or this or that, those are all appropriate. But it's a misappropriation of time if I'm doing those things at the time that I've set aside to talk to God. So again, prayer is very, very important, but we also need to make sure that we spend that time doing the appropriate things, doing the important things, I should say. Multitasking, that's the world that we live in, and our brains are wired that way these days, it seems. At least mine is. Sometimes I find it very difficult just to shut it all down. But we need to practice that. We need to learn that. That's part of what the purpose of meditation, that we can train our brains to do that thing, those things. Okay, I said earlier that the word that I would sum up society with would be hectic. And it was interesting that, and I've forgotten his name, but mentioned frantic. That's actually the word that I had down in my notes here. Another word that we could use is frantic. But have you ever wondered, where does that mindset, that sense of hectic and frantic come from? How did that come into our society? Well, it started many years ago, a long, long time ago, through the God of this world. Have you ever noticed how Satan is described in Scripture? Let's notice a couple of things. Let's turn to Job. Job chapter 2. Let's talk about the God of this world and what his frame of mind is. Job chapter 2. And let's read verses 1 and 2. It says, again, there was a day, the day when the sons of God came, speaking of the angelic realm here, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. So again, we've often read this to, you know, say that even Satan is still bound to and under the authority of God. He can't do anything that God won't allow him to do. But notice verse 2, it says, and the Lord said to Satan, from whence do you come? What have you been doing with yourself? Where have you been? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. This concept of Satan roaming to and fro and running back and forth, this sense of frantic panic in the mind of Satan. Now we can go to other scriptures, I won't turn there, but 1 Peter 5 verse 8 also describes this God of this world, this individual, as what? As a roaring lion roaming around seeking whom he may devour. It's a very aggressive, very frantic frame of mind, isn't it? And of course Revelation 12:12 tells us that speaks of when Satan was cast down to the earth. And he knows he has but a short time. And so he's trying everything he can do in that very short period of time to derail as many people as he can. Again, it gives us this sense of the God of this world has that frantic frame of mind, that aggressive frame of mind. As a matter of fact, when you look this up in the Hebrew, it actually has this concept of pushing with aggression. Pushing with aggression. That's the framework, the mindset, if you will, of the God of this world. So again, as I mentioned at the beginning here, I mentioned that being busy, doing acceptable things, isn't a sin. But it can lead us away from what is important. If we're too busy doing those acceptable things, then it can lead us away from what is really important. We can get caught up in the doing of stuff. And there's so much stuff out there that we can do. We can get caught up in the doing of the stuff that we neglect what we really should be doing. So what I want to do is I want to close by looking at a set of scriptures that really, to me, sums up what it is that I've been trying to express here today for all of us. Turn with me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10. Because God, or Jesus Christ rather, addresses the issue of there is the acceptable and there is the important. And it is fine to do the acceptable, but not to the neglect of the important. In Luke chapter 10, let me get there. Luke chapter 10, we read the story of two sisters, close friends of Jesus. Let's pick it up in verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. And again, just breaking, it says, Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So here we're reading of the two sisters, Mary and Martha. And he comes along, and so they welcome him, Jesus, into their house. And she said, Martha said to, and she had a sister called Mary, who also, now notice what Mary is doing, who also sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his words. So here's one of the sisters, having invited the master into the house, and she sits down to listen to what he has to say. But what's Martha doing? It says, verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Is serving other people an acceptable thing? Oh, absolutely. That's a wonderful thing to do. Not only is she serving she's serving the Lord. Wow! She needs to be commended for this. This is an acceptable thing. Well, what did Christ say? Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said to Christ, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Tell her to come and do this acceptable thing with me, to serve you, and maybe they had other guests in the house. Serving is an acceptable thing. It's a very good thing. But then going on in verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, and I'd like to think I could just almost hear Christ's voice, very soft, very gentle, very loving, saying, Martha, Martha, calm down. You might say, chill out. Martha. Chill out. Martha, Martha, you are worried. It's this anxious care, this anxiety. Go, go, Zoom. So much happening. You are worried and troubled about many things. Are we worried and troubled about many things in our life? Yes. And some of those things we need to spend time to think about them and work through them. I'm not saying we just flippantly deal with life. He's going to make a point here. Martha is doing acceptable work. But he said, you're worried about many things, going on, but one thing is needed. He said, but there's something more important. One thing. There's one thing that's more important than what you're doing right now, even though what you're doing is acceptable. One thing is needed, and Mary, your sister, has chosen that good thing or that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Christ is saying, look, Martha, I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate the service, but you're just so stressed out. And you're so anxious about doing what is acceptable that you have neglected to see something that is of greater importance. Serving is a good thing. We're called, Christ himself came to be a servant. But he said in this circumstance, in this setting, there's something more important than you fixing a meal for me. What was that one good thing that Mary chose that Martha neglected because she was busy doing something acceptable? What was that one good thing? To listen to the word of God. And Martha chose to serve a meal rather than to listen to the word of God. Mary chose the good and acceptable thing, the more important thing, to sit at the feet of Christ and hear his words. So again, the question for us today, brethren, as we embark on this time period between Pentecost and trumpets, there's going to be a 3-month time period here where, you know, as we have these long gaps, we can tend to get absorbed into the world. Yes, we have the weekly Sabbath, and that's a wonderful thing. Let's not take that for granted. We've talked a little bit about that today. But we need to make sure that we're keeping the rest of our lives in balance. Doing the acceptable things in balance. Not to the point where we just fall into the Sabbath and can't be rejuvenated by it, can't reap the full benefits of it. So make sure that we do the acceptable things, but without neglecting the important things. Make sure that we all, from time to time, slow down and make time for our God.